Hello, it's Heather from the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast. In association with Geeks Rising from the 10th to the 16th of August or 11th to the 17th if you're here in New Zealand, we are hosting the second 2019 Sunshine Summit. It's a week of live streams with amazing content creators and their communities with the theme of celebrating connections. All of the details for the upcoming summit, as well as replays from our previous events and where the live streams will be happening, can be found at sunshinesummit.live. A huge thank you to the patrons of Sunshine and Power Cuts for making it possible. So check it out, and if you know our guests, we'd love for you to come and celebrate with us. And if they're new to you, come along and learn more about them, and we look forward to celebrating connections with you.
I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredible geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today we have the return of Chris Sims, who, just because I like saying it, introduced me to emulators.
Yes, a long-lost voice from your past.
Honestly, that's the entire show. That's all you need to hear. Chris is awesome. But we are also here today to talk about another in the series of wonderful Capcom fighters that really made this show happen. Today, we're looking at X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, the classic. One of the greats.
Really, one of the ones that introduced so many things. And I don't know. It's just so beautiful, and I love it. And feel like we kind of need to go a little bit on the comic side just because these are all comic characters, because Street Fighter comics do exist.
They do. Although at the time, not good ones, which I do not have a problem saying that. I believe the early 90s, you might know this, and you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong if you do. I'm pretty sure there was a Street Fighter comic that was so bad that they had to issue an apology.
That's the first I'm hearing of that.
Yeah, it's like they had like somebody's head get ripped off or something. I swear this is a thing.
Okay, I really want to go find this now.
Yeah, it's maybe Malibu Street Fighter. I don't know why I did no research before bringing this up, but it just occurred to me. Because I was thinking about, you know, this being the sort of collision of two worlds, right? Like, it's what's the most popular thing in video games? Street Fighter, obviously. And what's the most popular thing in comics, which is X-Men, which you know because it's 1996 and the X-Men are everywhere. They're on TV. They've got the cartoon. This was during the run of the cartoon. Still not quite as high selling as it was before. And in fact, this would have been right on the verge of the 90s boom finally and viciously ending, putting a lot of people out of business and nearly bankrupting Marvel Comics, in fact. But this was still like when the X-Men were at their pop cultural height, I think. Which, when we did X-Men 92 for Marvel, was kind of the gimmick of that book, is that it wasn't really the cartoon X-Men. It was just the X-Men that existed in pop culture in the 90s when the X-Men were the most popular thing in the world. So it's these X-Men. It's these guys.
And really, when you look at the characters that show up in the game, I mean, obviously there are people that could have been in here that weren't. And, you know, there's space issues. There's only so much you can do. But everybody who actually made it into the game is people you would expect to see there. all your big heavy hitters.
Yeah, no, I believe there are people in this game besides Wolverine, but I was 14 when this game came out, so I never played as them. Can you confirm if there are other characters or not?
Oh, well, I mean, they're Cyclops. That's mostly who I saw everybody else doing. It was either I want to be the claw guy or I want to shoot you with my eye lasers from across the screen.
I was never a Cyclops fan when I was a kid. I can tell you he is super fun to write as a massive square. But somebody described his power, since they're not actually lasers, they're concussive force beams. Someone described his power as punching you in the face with his eyes. And that made me like Cyclops a lot more than I did previously.
Well, to be fair, I was speaking as younger me, child me, who did not know or care about the difference between concussive blasts and lasers.
There are literally two kinds of children. There are the children who don't care, and there are the children who care a lot about that stuff. I was one of the latter.
Really, you have Gambit in here, who hadn't been in too much lately. You know, those Genesis games that you may have heard of because they're amazing.
Yeah, this is kind of, in my memory, this is the first time I saw the X-Men in a game after the NES ones, which were never the X-Men I wanted them to be. Like, Spider-Man and the X-Men Arcade's Revenge, which is probably the one I played the most as a kid that would have had any of the X-Men characters in it.
Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not good. Fun fact, by the way, if X-Men 92 had not gotten canceled when it did, the next arc would have been a Spider-Man team-up that was going to be called The Revenge of Arcade's Revenge. If we could have gotten away with that. But, like, Cyclops is wearing his X-Factor costume and that. Like, it's not the 90s. It's not the Jim Lee X-Men number one X-Men, you know, which is who I wanted and who I think everybody wanted and who is exactly the cast of this game with these incredible, incredible sprites.
All these sprites are just beautiful. You know, imagine your cartoon X-Men, except they're on a Sega Saturn, which yeah. I think is just perfectly timed with everything.
Yeah. And who was the artist on this one? I can never remember his name.
Oh, I can never remember artist names. That always blanks on me. I don't know. The artist was somebody we're both going to feel stupid later for not realizing.
Yes.
That did not pop it into my head like I thought it would.
Oh, I thought you were about to drop some. You were going to be like, yeah, it was Jack Kirby.
Oh, I wish.
That would have been wild.
I have a nice history of having that work, but it didn't work this time. So when I just randomly yell out a name later, that's probably going to be why.
Oh, Bingus.
Yeah, Bingus. We feel dumb.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the because the X-Men sprites are the sprites from Children of the Atom, right?
Yep.
And those are really, really good looking sprites, but it's incredible how good they look when they are stacked up next to the Street Fighter sprites, because they look like they belong together, even though they're from such different genres. Like, they're completely different things, but this game made them belong together in a way that they never kind of stopped belonging together, I think.
Oh, no, and let's not forget about the Street Fighter things too. I don't know if anybody knows this, but you have written some Street Fighter comics.
I'm a big Street Fighter fan, despite the fact that I am not good at it at all. Like, I have never been able to play it well. That's why my favorite character is Chun-Li, because you can do a special move just by hitting one button over and over again, which is about as complex a special move. I think I can sometimes pull off the Hadouken. But I love the characters, and I love the designs, and I love the world. I love the movie, the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, which I know many people do not.
Hot take here. That is a really good movie.
It is not a good movie, Raul Julia is incredible in it. And M. Bison is a fantastic role. I got Matt Wilson, my co-host on Warrocket Ajax and Movie Fighters. I got him an actual Bison dollar prop for Christmas one year. I had it framed because that is a movie that that we have no small amount of affection for. But yeah, I love those characters. And the actual story behind me writing that Street Fighter comic is that I once said that if they were going to do a Final Fight comic, I would write that for a dollar. And Udon Studios got in touch with me. And it was Jim Zub, who is currently doing the D&D comics, Avengers, tons of stuff. He's a really prolific writer in comics, but he was one of the managing editors of Udon at the time. He was like, hey, if you really want to write this, like, send us a pitch. And so I did. Unfortunately, it fell through, which is a real shame, because I would have loved to write that comic. Like, again, it's so simple and beautiful, but I think it's just a great kind of premise to play around with. But it ended up with me being that didn't happen due to some weird licensing issues, I believe. And so to kind of make it up to me, I was included as a writer in the Street Fighter anniversary anthology. And I wrote two characters who I don't believe are in this game. I wrote Dudley and Balrog, which was a very fun pairing to write, even though I had never played with Dudley and was not at all good with Balrog. The two characters played off of each other very well. And I found out that the only reason that there's not a comic about Dan is that everybody wants to do it. And they can't, like, if one person gets it, everybody will be mad. Which I think is very funny, because everybody wants to do Dan.
I'm just imagining all the people with their Dan comics written down in their basements or out in their writing rooms now, just waiting for something to crack.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen one day. One day Dan will get his, like...
How much of your Dan comic is written?
None of it's written, because I try not to write if I'm not getting paid. I'm going to write a full Dan fan comic, although I have done fan comics before. But I can tell you, I have a premise that I will not reveal, because it might happen one day. But what do you do with the world's worst version of Ryu, who is still enough of a badass martial artist to get into the Street Fighter tournament? Like, he's not good, but he can still shoot fire out of his hands, you know?
I mean, you're not even going to tell me? Come on.
Maybe I'll tell you. Maybe I'll tell you.
Holy crap, that is going to be so amazing when it comes out.
But yeah, like, I, growing up as a kid, like, literally the first, you know, comic that I made, I remember I was at Myrtle Beach, which, you know, about taking vacations to Myrtle Beach, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Myrtle Beach and I was like six or seven, and I drew like a comic about Batman fighting Blanca and Dhalsim. In a junkyard, because I had just read the comic where Batman fights a bunch of dudes in a junkyard, which is still like my favorite issue of Batman ever. Because, I mean, that's, how can you beat a premise like that? It's a junkyard beatdown with Batman. So I really, really loved the Street Fighter characters. It's the most I like characters from a game that I will never see the ending of on my own.
No, I'm right with you there. I mean, I love playing them. I have a ton of different versions of Street Fighter games and collections just from going to the flea market and stuff. But I mean, I'm decent when I play with my friends because we're all equally sucky.
Yeah. That is also my problem, because like I had a summer where I was fun employed, and so my friend Brandon would come over and we would just play like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Smash Brothers like over and over. And I would like to say that I got good, and I did, but I mainly got good at playing against him, which is not the same as being good.
The Street Fighter characters they have in here, again, you know, it's all the people you'd expect. You've got Ryu and Ken and Chun-Li and Bison. You're pretty much pulling people that have been in the game for a good while, but also were in that Street Fighter Alpha 2 game, because that's where they pulled most of the sprites from there.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I thought it was fully bananas at this time, when everybody loved Mortal Kombat so much. And part of the reason was that, and again, I tend to be a very binary partisan about things. Like, I am Street Fighter ride or die, and therefore I do not like Mortal Kombat, which is a weird, like, it is possible to like both, but I decided that when I was 14, and that strategy has never left me. But I remember like looking at the like the mocapped animation for Mortal Kombat, and then looking at these sprites in like Street Fighter Alpha and in this game, and being like, how is this even a question? Like, obviously this is so much better. Just because I love the look of them. I love how expressive and animated they are. Like the way Wolverine's claws move in particular. And I remember noticing that more in MVC than here. But like the fact that his claws move independently in his idle animation, like they're just kind of loosely like hanging off of his hands until he makes that fist and comes at you. Amazing. I love that. I really love it. And I just think it's a beautiful and smart way to make those characters all look good together.
Everything about this just screams, hey, this is a comic book just thrown straight into a game. You know, I've always felt like Street Fighter looked like that anyway. I've always really loved finding different Street Fighter animated things. Never didn't always finish them because some of them are really horrible, but they exist. And at least for a minute, I thought they looked good. And most of them do.
What's weird to me is that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I'm pretty sure that there was never like a comic tie-in to this, which seems unthinkable today. Today when we have like DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat comics, you know, and in Injustice comics. But there was never a Marvel versus Capcom or X-Men versus Street Fighter miniseries or one shot at the time that was like widely available. And that is so weird. Cause like, I mean, first of all, there are so many people who were working in comics at the time. Like that is the book Joe Madureira was born to draw, you know, like how did it not happen?
I mean, even the Genesis Spider-Man games had a little comic packed into the game with it.
I think there might have been a pack-in thing for the Saturn version, but I don't. I've never read it, and I never saw it when I was doing back issues when I worked at a comic book store for 6 years. So, who knows? But it seems like such a wasted opportunity, because who would not love to see that? And I should say, like, I mentioned the bad early Street Fighter comics earlier, but the ones that were around when I got the job, the ones that were primarily done by Ken Hsu Chong are really fantastic, I think. Like, they're genuinely good comics. The Sakura series and the Ibuki series, which Jim Zub wrote that one, are actually really, really fun and enjoyable to read. So, like, the characters work so well together. You don't have to do any work. And yet, no comic. But we did get the video game, which is justifiably remembered very, very well.
Well, we're going to shed some tears over what might have been while we drop some promos for a few other shows.
Hey, everyone. I'm Danny over here at the Wheel Weaves podcast, where we're diving into the series The Wheel of Time. Are you a super fan? Awesome. Never heard of it? No problem. The Wheel of Time is one of the top-selling fantasy series ever, and it was picked up by Amazon to be the next big TV show. Our podcast is safe for first-time readers because it's made by me, a first-time reader. I'm joined by my co-host Brett, a longtime fan, who is acting as my tour guide as we journey into the series for chapter analysis, character breakdown, and probably wrong predictions. Find us at the Wheel Weaves podcast on social media and listen in on your favorite podcasting app.
Hey, 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 it's Carrington from Real Dudes Podcast, and with me I have some fantastic co-hosts. Guys, why don't you introduce yourselves?
This is Andrew, coming to you from Lynchburg, Ohio.
This is Cody, coming from you also from Ohio.
And this is Kyle, coming to you straight from the armpits of West Virginia. We are an indie gaming podcast. We all share a love for games, and you can check out our show on Podbean. Just search for Real Dudes Podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, really any of the podcasting outlets that you like to use. Again, that is Real Dudes Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you love video games, you will love our show.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So I think we've said it here a lot already. This game is amazing.
Yes, we haven't really talked about like the way it plays, though, which I think is really, really cool and really unique in that it is not it's not rounds. Like, you don't have the three rounds in this game like you do in every other, I'm pretty sure every other iteration of Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, I can't think of one right now that doesn't, that's not one of these little crossover things.
Yeah, this one is just, you have your two characters, and the other person has two characters, and you fight to a knockout, and that's it. Which I think is really cool.
Let's back up for 1 second here. I'm assuming that you pretty much looked at the Saturn and the arcade versions here and ignored the PlayStation one.
Yes, absolutely. Did not mess around with the PlayStation on this one.
Yep. I own the PlayStation one, which still does have rounds because memory limitations and stuff, and you can't actually bring your other character in as a helper as much. But I mostly only have the PlayStation one because I found it cheap.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because the Saturn one and the arcade one is so much better.
Yes, yes. My memories of this are all from the arcade. I never had the home version. I did see that there was a bootleg Super Nintendo version that is also bad. But, yeah, all of my experience with this was in Aladdin's Castle, which you may remember.
I mostly don't remember what things were called. I just remember roughly where things were.
It was, it was in the mall across from KB.
Yeah.
They might have been in the process of closing. When you were aware of them.
That's the problem, because you're a little bit older than me.
Yeah, but they had this. And so as a kid who loved the Street Fighter characters and also obviously loved the X-Men characters, like I would just like watch people play this because I was no good. And that was the best way to experience it. Like, still, if I'm going to experience this game, I'm going to like go to YouTube and watch like a Let's Play. I was doing that in the 90s, just the real life version of it, which is where you just stood in a mall being weird for a half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, this game introduced so much stuff. Like you said, it introduced the tag team element that has just become a staple of these Marvel versus games. Getting rid of rounds, I think, is genius. and the fact that whatever character you're not playing as at that moment heals a little bit while they're off the screen just brings so much more strategy into it.
I love that mechanic because it's a very pro wrestling type mechanic where the, you know, your tag team partner tags out and they get to rest. And so if you can keep the person in the fight longer, I think that's like really brilliant. And I am like, it's so weird that very pro wrestling idea made it into this thing, but I am glad it did.
It's something that I take full advantage of when I'm playing other ones because my Saturn's acting weird, so I got to get it fixed up. And I don't play the PlayStation 1 unless somebody just really wants to see how bad it is.
Like the way it plays, I think that's a really brilliant way to do a crossover game like this too, because it kind of forces you to see everyone. It feels like, you know, even if you're using like two Street Fighter characters, like it still feels like a team up in a way that the regular games don't. And that is, I think, I love games that are designed to capture a feeling like that, like a specific idea of what can we do with the concept of a team up. And this game does it really well, I think. And like you said, set the standard for a lot of really popular and really well-made games of its ilk that came after.
This is the first one in the series that really makes me wonder when they started figuring out what they wanted Marvel versus Capcom to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because Children of the Atom, yeah, we can make a fighting game with these comic characters and people are going to like it. And then you have Marvel Superheroes. Yeah, we could do the same thing with the Marvel people. And then now you have the crossover stuff. And yeah, the game is still going to appeal to people, even if you're only going to get half the roster size of the comic or half the roster size of the Street Fighter stuff. But just the team up aspect of it and everything, you're going to bring those two audiences together and it's going to be super amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's as much as there was a previous X-Men game and Marvel Superheroes, like you said, and obviously like Street Fighter had been a going concern for the better part of a decade at this point. This feels like where it starts. Like, it's objectively not where it starts, but it feels like it is, because this is the, it's not so much where it starts as the proof of concept, I guess. And then you get Marvel versus Capcom, and then that's that forever, you know, like that's, we're done. We've done it. We've made the game that everybody wanted.
Yeah. The two before this, I feel like are just let's super basic alpha mode, see if we can do it.
Yeah.
And then try it from the other side. But here is let's jam everything together and see what happens. And oh, does it work so beautifully?
Oh, perfectly. Because the Street Fighter characters, the thing that gets me about like a Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, right? Is what are those dudes going to do to Superman? You know?
Exactly.
But the Street Fighter characters and the X-Men are like very comparable. Like a lot of them are just people that shoot things out of various parts of their bodies or who just fight really well. Like Gambit could be a Street Fighter character easily. And like they just fit. It's the perfect crossover. Like I can't think of two things that would go better than this, which, you know, weirdly enough, I mentioned playing Smash Brothers earlier. I kind of feel like you get to there with this too. Like, not necessarily like the first Smash Brothers, but by the time Melee rolls around and they're like throwing in all kinds of weird characters, and obviously by Ultimate, where it's like, you know, who isn't here yet? Like, Ryu's in that one. I'm kind of surprised Wolverine's not at this point. Is Wolverine in Smash Brothers?
Not yet.
So. He could be. He should be.
I mean, Disney owns everything anyway. They can do it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Team up. But I feel like you get that feeling of, oh, these characters go together in a way that Smash Brothers really manages to pull off, even though it's like, you know, you're the ice climbers fighting against a dragon or Ridley from Metroid or Dracula. Like, those characters shouldn't go together, but they do. The X-Men and Street Fighter characters go together in a way that proves you can make things fit if you look at them the right way.
And it's not even like you have to put too much of a spin to get these to fit anyway.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like, Juggernaut pretty much is Zangief. He just has more clothes.
And he's got those cool things on his fist that he punches with. Cool fist things.
I mean, once you have cool fist things, that's all you need.
Yeah. I need to get some cool fist things.
I think we all need to get some cool fist things.
And I will tell you where you can go to help me get some cool fist things at the end of the show.
That's called foreshadowing. I learned it from your mother.
We've kind of covered the gameplay. We've covered like why it works so well. What is there left to say about this game?
The only fault I can find in this game at all, and I'm really stretching to say this because it is a fighter, is that there is really not much of a storyline at all.
Yeah, but like you said, that's such a stretch. Like, that's such a nitpick in this kind of game, where if there's a story at all, that's kind of a bonus, you know. It's a concept that sells itself so well that it doesn't require justification, and they're characters that fit together so well that they do not require justification, which I think is a great thing about it, you know. Like, they only have to do the absolute bare minimum of work to make it work.
You have characters that keep showing up in these Marvel Capcom games later on. You have a few of them made their debuts here. Like, Rogue and Gambit and Sabretooth were not in any of the other Capcom fighting games until this one.
Yeah, and that Sabretooth sprite is really good, too. The big old 90s Sabretooth.
I mean, the only other thing I could wish for is brown uniform Wolverine.
Yeah, kind of surprising that, well, I guess the yellow costume was the one on the cartoon, which is probably what they were wanting to capture more than anything else.
Yeah, and the whole bright colors attracting people thing, you know, it makes sense. I like seeing brown costume Wolverine.
People love that brown costume. I honestly am either put Wolverine in that yellow suit or put him in like jeans. But I know Chad Bowers, who was my co-writer on X-Men 92 and a bunch of stuff that we've done together, he put on Twitter, it's like, yeah, this is the best Wolverine look, period. And it's hard to argue with, even for an argumentative guy like me.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a bad looking Wolverine pretty much no matter what you do. And honestly, I think I just want the brown costume because I haven't seen it in anything like this for a while.
Yeah.
So I probably don't need to ask you this because we just spent like half an hour talking about it already. But what do you think this game really gets right?
It gets a lot of things right, but if I was going to pick like one thing and point to it, it's the look. Like, the interpretations of the characters' designs to standardize them. Everybody looks like they should, but I think it's very important and interesting that they all look like they should look together. They all look like they belong in the same game. Whereas using a more, even like a slightly more, you know, quote unquote American comic book style, like if they actually looked like Jim Lee art, it would not quite work the way it does, you know? They have to have those Street Fighter proportions and that, that kind of slight cartooniness, like really making sure you know that Wolverine's got fangs. And also, specifically, Wolverine short. This is a good short Wolverine.
And for me, just to pick something different, because obviously, I mean, that's, I think, the ultimate correct answer. But this is the first time you can get something where here are these two worlds that never interact, ever. And you can kind of say who would win between Wolverine and Ryu.
Yeah.
Because everything else, I mean, you can sit there and play Street Fighter and, you know, this character wins, but there's a canon thing. And you can sit there and, you know, this X-Man character always wins in Danger Room training, so you have canon. You're never going to have Marvel sitting here and having Wolverine fighting Akuma. This is the first chance you can really have to solve a lot of those playground arguments.
Or at least solve them until someone who's better at playing with the other character shows up.
Well, yeah, that person is definitely neither one of us.
Yeah, I would lose that argument every time.
So even if you have to get super nitpicky, what do you think this game gets wrong?
The only things that are wrong are, I think, limitations of the time, right? Like, this should be the full roster of Street Fighter against an equal number of X-Men. Because Lord knows the X-Men have enough characters to match. And it's just the ones you want are there. But it would have been so nice to get, like, everybody, I think.
Yeah, and I definitely would have appreciated at least just a hand-wavy reason for why they're together.
Mm-hmm.
Because as best as I can tell, it's just, hey, they're together, go fight.
Yeah.
And I'll keep coming back to this until something else can be another example. Justice League Task Force, you know, as bad of a game as it was, you had a good reason why heroes were fighting heroes.
That's a bad game.
That's a very bad game.
It's an extremely bad game. Robots!
But the hand-wavy reason was there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate them for putting that in.
Yeah. True. True.
So if you have somebody who wanted to get into X-Men, would you hand them this game as a bit of a primer course?
If they were someone who liked Street Fighter, I would, because I think a lot of the appeal to X-Men is in, like, the idea, like, their equivalent of super moves, right? Like, you know, this is Wolverine. He's got these cool claws, and sometimes he goes into a berserker rage. Like, the first thing you think about when you think about Wolverine isn't like, oh, he's 140 years old, or oh, he kind of is a modern day samurai. The first thing you think of is adamantium claws. And I think if you are someone who likes Street Fighter and you're like, yeah, this is the dude who does the Hadouken, this is the dude who does the big pile driver, like, you're gonna find something to enjoy there. Like, as far as story and character, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would not hand this to anybody as an introduction to X-Men. Only if they have somehow managed to live a life where they have heard of Street Fighter but haven't heard of the X-Men, which I find very unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, there just isn't anything to get you into the characters unless the only reason you want to get into it is because of how they play in a fighting game.
Yeah.
So, Chris, if people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Well, if they want to hear me, I do a bunch of podcasts. I am the co-host of War Rocket Ajax, which is a weekly comic book and pop culture podcast that I've been doing for 10 years now with my good buddy Matt Wilson. That is out every Monday, and you can find that at warrocketajax.com. You can find Apocrypals, the weekly show that we have not done for the past 2 weeks. We've just been so busy with other stuff, is a podcast where the description is two non-believers read through the Bible, but we try not to be jerks about it. And that is a very fun podcast to do. we read through the Bible and other associated holy texts like the Apocrypha, also the Lives of Saints. We obviously covered St. Nicholas around Christmas time. I also do a couple of episode-by-episode podcasts. I do Sailor Business, which is about Sailor Moon. I do Xena Warrior Business, which is about Xena Warrior Princess, the spinoff of that show. And Matt and I also do a podcast called Movie Fighters. So go give those a listen. You can find all of those just by going to the-isb.com. That is my website that'll have links to all of that. And all the non-podcasting stuff that I do, I am a writer by trade. I have written comic books like X-Men 92 for Marvel, as well as other stuff, a couple issues of Guardians of the Galaxy, Deadpool hardcover, all kinds of stuff, which again, you can find links to all of it and places you can buy it online at the-isb.com. But also you can probably find a couple of them at your local comic book store.
And we will have links to that down in the show notes because clicking links is easier than spelling things.
Clicking links is great.
If it wasn't for clicking links, I would never get anywhere around the internet.
Yeah, see, that's why that's why Google Reader being taken down was the death knell of the internet. Mark my words when we were writing the histories.
If you want to hear more from me, you can always go check out Play Comics Cast on Twitter or go to playcomics.com/Facebook group to get over to the Facebook group, oddly enough, because that's a much better link to tell you about. You can also head on over to the merch store. There's links down the show notes. You can help support the show and you can go support us on Patreon, which covers this show and where my wife and I talk about Scooby-Doo over on Meddling Kids, which honestly needs to get going more, but that's a whole different issue. Also, don't forget that Play Comics is now part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to such wonderful shows as Crimson Comet, which is a beautiful little show that just looks at the CW's Flash, which is my second favorite of the CW shows, because let's face it, Legends of Tomorrow, come on, that's the best. But Flash is also really good.
I'm a Supergirl man myself.
That one's really good too.
But I do like all of the shows, except for Arrow.
Supergirl, I feel like, either needs to be more or less political.
Fair. Fair.
Either do it or don't.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. They have gotten less lately, because there was a stretch there where it was pretty prominent in a way that I really dug. So,
and honestly, I really was hoping they would do more.
Yeah, but it is a good show, and Melissa Benoist, I have no idea how to say her name, she's great. And also their Superman is like my favorite live action Superman, because he's a good friendly man.
We need to see more of him.
Yes, Tyler Hoechlin, who is also the kid from Road to Perdition, which I didn't realize. Some other comics connection for you.
Well, Chris Sims bringing out connections all over the place. Who knew?
Knowing trivia about comic books is my most marketable skill.
Well, if you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, just head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day, where you can check out Best Day's music. Most importantly, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics written by Chris Sims, and go find yourself a new favorite character.
Did I just ruin the show?
No, yes, you ruined my entire show. Let's scrap the whole thing and start over.